We welcome you back to the Two Guys Named Chris show. We welcome in, as we do every week at this time, Lisa Lanier, our official attorney. She was in studio last week. It's great to see her. Hello, Lisa. How you doing?
I'm fantastic. I hope you guys are.
Doing really well.
I hope you cut back on your margarita consumption the night prior.
That's right.
This time.
Oh, yes. Man. Yes, I had no margaritas last night. I'm just purely on Waterloo now. You know, Kelly and I think we were both on the Spindrift kick, right?
Yes.
I'm cheating on Spindrift with Waterloo.
Is it Waterloo?
Tell me about this now, because Spindrift is a drink I have used to replace Diet Coke and my obsession with that, and I do like Spindrift a lot. What is Waterloo?
Waterloo, I just really like the Waterloo flavors. I don't know. I'm still sort of a Spindrift fan. You know, I still drink it some.
Yeah.
But the Waterloo's just a change of pace. Very similar product. Zero sugar, zero calories, a little bit of fruit, you know, flavor.
Yep.
I like it. Okay. I like it a lot. So check it out, Waterloo.
That's my next.
How do you discover all these new things? Because you, Lisa, you've introduced us to new alcoholic beverages, non-alcoholic beverages. How often are you scouring the aisles?
I scour the aisles, yeah. I like to grocery shop, and I read a lot of, you know, like food magazines and things like that. So,
okay. All right.
Yeah, I like to cook. You know, I like food, like to drink, you know.
We've seen your food photos. They are all
they've improved.
Yeah, yeah.
They have improved.
Chris Dipp says they're better.
Credit where credit's due.
I had to block you after a while. I was like, my God.
Yeah, well, this, the tofu thing really.
When you forced your poor family, they were like, remember they were blinking in Morse code, save us, help us. Get us out of here. Well, so you and B.B. Shea have a lot in common. You've both come in still drunk here in the past week. And you last week, it was great to see you last week when you did the report. Now, this one is exciting. We have a docket, full docket for Lawyer Up. And the first story I'm really intrigued by, as are you, and Biggie was as well. A man says his brother-in-law is going to be sued. He and the brother-in-law were watching sports, both fully sober. And the guy who's doing the suing fell asleep, and his brother-in-law, as a prank, thought, wouldn't it be fun to take super glue and pour it into his belly button, which is exactly what he did. While the man was asleep, it hardened, of course. When he woke up, his finger was all sticky because he had rubbed his belly button in his sleep, and his belly button was full of crazy glue. So he had to go to the emergency room. They had to use some sort of solution to get the glue off him, but in doing that, they caused injury around the belly button, and they charged him at least $1,000 on his copay. It went even higher than that into the $2,000-something range. Everybody in the family says, oh, come on, it was just a prank. He says, yeah, but I'm out thousands of dollars, so he's ready to take the guy to small claims court. I think he wins. He certainly should. This was with malice, Lisa Lanier. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think he wins, but I will say there's one fact check that makes the story kind of interesting. I went down a deep rabbit hole in this, by the way. I got all on Reddit, and, you know, it was crazy.
Yeah.
So the glue-y, the man in asleep in the hammock that had his belly button glued, he was drunk.
Oh, he was.
He'd had several drinks and took a, quote, nap, you know, unquote, in the hammock, shirtless. And, you know, when somebody's drunk and they go into an alcohol sleep like that, you know, that they're napping, people do bad things to them. It's just really common. I mean, they...
It's a fact.
And now the gluer was sober and wondered it. You know, sometimes it's out of annoyance with the person who's, you know, Otis the... I don't know.
Otis the drunk. Yeah.
Otis the drunk. You know, I don't know. But that was, I think, an important role. But the whole family is siding with the gluer, and they're saying that the victim here is just overreacting, including the victim's wife.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
She did take him to the hospital, but she's like, really, drop this. Like, you know, come on.
Yeah.
And you're just way overreacting. She was even quoted, somebody who knows her quoted her on Reddit, as saying that he overreacted wanting to go to the hospital. Like, she thought that was over the top. Like, she thinks he could have gotten it out, but he was being a big baby about it.
It's shocking to me that
it's turned the whole story.
That the wife is taking
the whole fam.
But of course, the wife, it's her brother that did it because it's his brother-in-law.
Right.
He's the one that poured the glue into the guy's belly button. B.B. Shea was nodding along when you say about being drawn on or whatever while drinking. You've had this
passed out.
Yeah. You've had this happen.
I've taken a few cat naps during the show today.
Yeah.
I'm just imagining this really big, hairy, fat, deep innie, you know, that they just were like... They were just dying to put something in that thing, right? You know, because
he's
over there snoring in the hammock, and they're just like, that cavernous belly button is just calling out for something to be put in it. Here's the other interesting thing. So he is out $1,000 deductible. His total bill was $2,200 and change. He could potentially file this under medical payments coverage on the homeowner's policy for the home where the party was hosted, which I think was the glueer, the brother-in-law's house. That's a possibility. And that would maybe solve this whole thing, although it might make the brother-in-law angry if his homeowners got involved. Right. I don't know. But he's already going to be on the hook. He's going to lose in court. I mean, brother-in-law did it. It is technically an assault, even if the dude overreacted. So. Yeah.
Listen to the attorney. It's technically an assault. this drunk with a deep belly button had it coming.
Big Fat Harry Innie.
Oh, fair. That's what the case will be called. Big Fat Harry Innie versus brother-in-law. He'd be better off having
an Audi. It would never happen.
I know. Right. That's right. It's one of the rare cases you want an Audi. That's right.
One's mind can't help but wonder. If you saw this, if you were presented with this situation and did not have crazy glue at your disposal, what would you dump down his belly button? Ketchup?
Cocktail sauce?
Oh, you know they're going to want to put something in there.
Yeah, ranch. Yeah. Ranch would have been good. Then dip your chicken nuggets and stuff in it, you know. Or you could show him later pictures of, like, carrots and stuff being... Because apparently it's cavernous enough that you could put a bowl of whatever you wanted in there. And again, we have not seen this gentleman.
Milk and cereal? I don't know if that's
bowl ambitious. A bowl of cereal. Wouldn't that be? They should do like different things and clean it off of him and then put new stuff in there. Hot sauce and whatever might go in there. My goodness. One more here. This is from France now, and I'm fascinated by it. I don't think this works in France or in the United States. But thieves stole a backpack from a man in France, and his wallet was inside. Then they raced immediately to a corner store and used his credit card to buy cigarettes and a lottery scratch-off ticket. The thieves won a jackpot worth around $500,000 American dollars with the scratch-off ticket. The cashier said they were really excited about the win, of course, and left without their cigarettes. Now, this is stolen wallet, stolen money that they've used to buy and win $500,000.
You know how excited a Frenchman has to be to leave
cigarettes behind?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they're excited.
Yeah.
Now, the guy who had his backpack stolen says, come forward, let's split the $250,000. Keep the backpack, bring back the lottery ticket. I'll give you, or you give me $250,000. We'll call it a day. We'll both be rich. Lisa, I want it to work. Can this work?
Can you shoot holes in it?
Can it work?
No, I want it to work too. And I think it might be able to work if they come to an agreement, if they come forward and work out an agreement with him, because they can't claim it as long as he's saying it's stolen. But if they come forward and work out a deal with him, he can drop the whole it's stolen, you know, drop the charges, drop the, you know.
Yes.
And say, look, we've agreed that, you know, and I think he can get around it. This is actually one of those places where, hey, you know, rules are rules, and right, and if they bought it, and he's now saying, I'm consenting to you that you bought it.
Oh, I like
this. You know,
this.
He'll say that if they work it out, you know.
Yes. So, here's what I think. I think the criminals are worried that he's trying just to trap them into being arrested.
Yep. It's entrapment.
But if I were him, I wouldn't be entrapping them. I would say, come on, let's
come
do
on.
I don't mind you stealing.
I'll buy you some cigs.
I'll buy you.
He really wants his backpack back. Number one,
right.
So that is that is a worry that he's just trying to entrap them. But if he entraps them and he doesn't get any money. I mean,
exactly.
They don't get the ticket then.
Exactly.
So I don't think he's doing that. And he's hired an attorney there to try to really work it out with these criminals, like so that they feel assured that they're just getting half the money and it's legit.
Right. But in the United States, I know you can't profit from a crime. So. Does that go again? You know, you've told us that many times that you can never profit from criminal activity. This is a crime, but if he drops all charges, would it work here in the United States?
Yeah, I mean, I think he could sort of retroactively endorse them, you know, taking his wallet. You know what I mean?
Yes.
I think he could say, I'm good with that.
Yeah.
You know, I really.
They borrowed it. They borrowed my wallet, and I wanted them to buy that. I'm really surprised that you said that. I thought you were going to say no chance, but I love that this.
Well, you know, but the lottery commission would fight it. You know, they don't ever want to pay out any money. I mean, they would fight it.
So. Oh, they would. Yeah. To me, it's a really interesting case. Yes, the lottery commission, I'm sure, would say no way, and the ticket's no good no matter what. You know, they just swallowed
this taint all over it.
There is taint all over it, but I want these tainted Frenchmen to take their $250,000 each and go. And then I think the criminal would, what, turn over a new leaf.
Yes.
He would no longer.
I don't need to steal backpacks.
No longer steal backpacks from unsuspecting Frenchmen. I've stopped a French crime. Italian. I stopped
An Italian pickpocket?
An Italian pickpocket once. A woman was standing there. Her purse was hanging almost down to the ground. She was looking at a department store, and a swarthy Italian came up behind her and was reaching for her wallet, and I went, woo, woo, woo. I did.
He's not lying.
I did. She didn't speak the language, neither did the swarthy. I mean, I cannot tell you.
I think I can't prove it, but I think they started. That was the first time they called an American hero Night Monkey. They brought that back in Spider-Man.
It kind of sounded like a bird call or something. Woo, I was like, woo, woo.
That's all I could do. I don't speak the language, you know? I couldn't have said anything.